Hello and welcome to the Utah Puck Report. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, and you're kind of like the official co-host now.
Pretty much.
It's Evan Stofflett. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me again, as always.
We've got John Smith outside. He's a hockey player and a DJ as well. We should get him in on the show.
Might as well.
Yeah. Today, our special guest is Ryan Tall. Ryan is a local who has he's made it big. He's been pulled up to the AHL. Ryan, are you on the line?
I'm here.
Larry, what's going on?
Evan, how you doing?
Doing good.
So
that is my nickname.
All right, so I guess we should just tell the story. I asked Evan, I'm like, all right, how did he get the nickname Larry? And it's, go ahead, Ryan, tell us why you're Larry.
Yeah. So when I started out, I was just a game night helper, assistant, whatever you want to call me, with the Grizzlies. And John Loughner, who's now the equipment guy at ASU, decided I needed a nickname, and he decided that I looked like Larry Bird. A young Larry Bird.
Spitting image.
And it stuck. And it followed me everywhere I have been in hockey since then. And I think there's sometimes, like at the start of the year especially, the guys think my real name's Larry because that's just what everybody calls me.
Right.
And then they're baffled when they go to find out that my real name's Ryan. So the nickname has definitely stuck, and it's almost taken over my real name.
Dude, I thought for sure Riggs had given you that nickname, because that was the first time I had heard it, and I'd seen you around for a while. I didn't know anybody called you Larry at the time, but
right, yeah, Riggs is definitely spread the word on the Larry nickname.
Yeah,
wildfire.
Yeah, one of the times I was up with the Grizzlies, and he's like, "Hey, say hi to Larry for me." I'm like,
"Who?
Who's Larry?" So all right, now it all comes together. Now I get it. Well, that's cool. So how old were you when you started with the Utah Grizzlies? Because you're like 12 years old right now, right?
Looks like it.
I might look it. I'm 24 now, but I started when I was 19 with the Grizzlies. Or when 18, 19.
Okay.
Is when I was just helping out John Loughner in the locker room. And he would take me on trips when they could, you know, and throw me under the bus, you know, wherever I would fit. Call me wherever they were going and sleep on the floor in the hotel room with them and all that good stuff.
Yeah, you say throw you under the bus like it's a joke, but I have a feeling that maybe you've ridden some some games in the luggage rack.
There's been some interesting sleeping accommodations.
Yeah,
for the year,
such as the East Coast League, man. That's the ECHL, if you will. So what made you decide to get into it? Were you a hockey player in high school and stuff?
Yep, I was. So I played growing up at Davis County youth hockey, and then from there I went to Viewmont. After that, I kind of just fell into the beer league. I wasn't that good. Started playing beer league, and I was like, you know what? I want to be involved in hockey more. I want to do something in the locker room. I wasn't really interested in the business side, so I just reached out randomly to John Loughner at the time and asked if he needed any help, and he brought me right in.
That's awesome. That's cool. Man, you just took right to it, and like, you're always a hard worker in the locker room, obviously, and well-liked. And how long were you with the Grizzlies before an opportunity came up?
It was like a year and a half, so relatively pretty quick. I had learned a lot from John and Georgie at the time as well. He after John had left, George Lopez took over. I learned from him, and then an opportunity came, and I was, ready or not, thrown into the fire. So Tim took a lot of trust in me and gave me that opportunity, Coach Tim Branham. So
that's how that came about, is from Tim. Tim kind of suggested you, because at the time, obviously, we were with the Ducks, and San Diego is with, you know, you guys are the Goals, and you're the Ducks AHL affiliate, correct?
They were, yeah. The affiliation's now ended. But, yeah, at the time, the Goals were affiliated, and the Ducks and the Grizzlies all the way down.
Right. That's just crazy to me. So tell me about that meeting. How did that happen? How did you find out this was going to happen? Did you kind of sense it was coming?
Yeah, a little bit. I have a great relationship with Tim, and when the position was open, he called me right away and offered me the job, and it's just one of those things that you just got to take it, you know? And I was super excited about it, and as nervous as I was to become a head equipment guy after not as much experience as some other people have had, I embraced it full on and worked hard, and it's been great ever since.
I can only imagine.
So the year I was with you, was that your first full season?
Yep, correct. Oh, wow. Yeah, that year, oh, man, that was my first full year as a head equipment guy. I didn't want to say anything, so maybe I did a good job if you didn't notice.
You did a great job, yeah. I was always taken care of, so that's cool. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Speaking of guys like Evan that really need a lot of taken care of. Are there a lot of prima donnas in hockey that because I know as a goalie, I know goalies are always at the equipment manager's door.
Yeah, you find some weird goalies for sure.
Are there any that are normal?
That I'm still looking to find one. So I'll let you know when I run into a normal goalie.
Yeah.
As far as the prima donnas, yeah, definitely. But it's like they're not bad people. They're just they need goofy things.
Particular.
And sometimes you almost laugh at some of the things they request. You know, like special brands of tape or laces or, you know, certain shower supplies or hair product. You know, and it's
hair product.
exactly. It gets down to stuff that doesn't even affect their play on the ice, but it's just. You know, it's funny, and you can kind of have fun with it too when guys come in with an odd request. So
kind of like bands with their green.
I think the only thing I had was used to take the tape off my stick in between periods. I think that was my
right. Yeah,
you had him take your tape off.
Yeah,
that's not even that bad.
No.
It's
funny that you brought up the tape because you know a lot of times we have Jordan Parisi on the show. And Jordan's,
right.
He only uses one brand of tape. I remember him and Zach both. They will only use a certain brand of tape, and they'll buy it themselves and bring it into the team.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell the difference.
We've got guys like that. That's just, they, you know, they have a certain brand that's worked for them, and they don't want to do anything different.
I'm always just like, you know, free tape! Yes, free tape!
You know, in my opinion, tape's tape, but hey, I'm going to let them do what they want.
Yeah, and it's weird. As a goalie, I don't care, like... But Jordan does.
Oh yeah. You get some. I mean, we even have a guy he's changed his tongues countless times. It's crazy. Like the tongue on his skate.
Really?
Like, foam in and out.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Like thicker felt, less thick felt, different leather in there. You know, it's like, and that's just he's trying to get comfortable. So.
Wow.
Hard job.
So as an equipment rep back in the day when I was working with Brian's, we had, and I'm going to have this guy on the show, so I'm going to go ahead and throw him under the bus a little bit here. But the most needy goalie I ever had, or the player that needed the most attention that I ever had was a goalie that we had here in Utah that he played for St. Louis and Colorado. It was Jason Bakashwa. And he still plays, but I had to customize every strap on his pad. Literally every strap. He wanted them. This one was, you know, a quarter inch higher than it was off the shelf, or this one was a quarter inch lower, or the strap that went across the back of his knees had to be a different material. And then with his catcher, this is the craziest part. So on his catch glove, we had to change the way we, you know, because we have our four models, right? Because I worked for Brian's, and we had four models at the time. But he liked this Louisville glove from 1990, and he was superstitious about it, too. So not only did I have to make his new gloves that cut every year, which Brian's is fine with. Brian's can do whatever. But he also wanted it the same color. So
like the Louisville, the same color as... Okay.
So the same color from his first junior A team. So he'd been with another junior A team since then.
Oh, so it didn't match his.
It didn't match the rest of his set. It was so.
He was set on that color.
Yep. And he just said because he could see it out of his periphery that anytime we changed it, and he was a first round draft pick from Dallas. So I'm like, you get whatever you want.
Wow. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Literally, you can. Well, we had two of them that same year. We had two first-round picks here. We had Mike Smith and Jason Bakashwa. And I was making pads for Mike Smith, too. And he's like, yeah, just send whatever. I'll just send whatever. Just make it.
You have two extremes.
Yeah. And I was like, all right, I'll make you. You know, I made Mike Smith several sets. And he ended up signing a big deal with CCM that same year. I mean, he was making, I think CCM was paying him $100,000 a year, even while he was here. Everybody knew Mike Smith was going to be something. I mean, the guy had a shutout and a goal in his first pro game. But yeah.
Oh yeah. You want to just talk all over him.
Yeah, you want to talk about prima donnas. Every time I think of that, I think of Jason McCashua.
That's a cool story.
And then the lockout years, I'd get calls at like 4 in the morning. He'd be like, my phone would ring. He'd be like, hey, because he was in Sweden somewhere during the lockout. He's like, hey, can I get some different straps? Like, he wouldn't even, there's no hello, there's no,
yeah,
this is Jason.
All that's on his mind is the straps.
Yeah, you can tell he's sitting in his stall, and he's like, in the locker room, call me from Sweden, we're like, hey, this strap is it's a quarter inch too wide. Or whatever, like just prima donnas. So what other kind of story? Do you have any other stories that come to mind, like just crazy stories in your career so far?
Oh, man, there's all kinds of crazy stories that happen from the traveling and the day-to-day of this job. You know, you're around professional hockey players all day and traveling all over for games. I'm trying to think of something right off the top of my head of crazy story. You know, I don't, without throwing anyone under the bus.
just don't say the name.
Change the name. Make something up.
Yeah. Just because Evan's sitting right here doesn't mean.
Yeah, exactly. I can't throw Evan under the bus. He's a co-host. Yeah, it's pretty crazy, especially here in San Diego. Like the dynamic of pro hockey in a city that's 75 and sunny, you know, every day, but maybe 2 or 3 days of the year is. It's pretty crazy, and it's a special place, really, especially the guys that come from, you know, Syracuse or Utica or Wilkes-Barre or a team from back east like that, and then they get traded here, sign here, and they're like, wait a second, like,
yeah,
this is I'm playing pro hockey, and I'm living in Mission Beach or Pacific Beach, you know, and then it relates to me as well, since, you know, growing up in Utah, like, I'm always used to shoveling snow and digging my car out of the snow and whatever, and then all of a sudden it's December, January, and I'm sitting here like, well, it looks like a good beach day to me. Like,
yeah, not instead of shoveling snow, you're vacuuming sand out of your car?
Exactly. It's like you pinch yourself sometimes when you're working pro hockey and then you're outside in 75-degree weather in the middle of winter. So it's definitely a special place, and I don't think anybody that's here takes it for granted.
Well, that's crazy. So you were talking before, you said the affiliation, you just met the Utah affiliation, right? You guys are still affiliated with
Correct.
The Ducks.
Yeah. Yep, we are. We're owned by the Ducks. So.
Oh, right, right. They actually bought the teams now, so that's...
Correct.
So what, you got some young superstars, you think, there? You got some first-round draft picks that we're going to be hearing about soon?
We've got some good players. A lot from so last year we had a good run. I don't know if you guys paid attention. We were in the Western Conference Finals here. We ended up losing to the Chicago Wolves, but a lot of kids from that team are up with the Ducks right now, and a few of them have been up and back this year. But yeah, there's some good prospects that are definitely on the rise.
Wow!
So, and it's always fun to work around. You know, everybody is fun to work around, but when you see the young superstars that are breaking into the pro game, it's always special to see that.
Just even as a Utah fan, and we've talked about this a lot on this program, and I've written a couple articles about it, just how cool it is to, when you are that AAA affiliate and you see a guy come in and you see a guy come out of, let's say, the WHL or whatever, and you know the tools are there and they've just got to figure out the pro part of the game, or they got to bulk up for a year, and you get to...
Yep, just fine-tune a little thing.
Yeah, and you get to see that kid become... a player and then become a man. Like it's been just amazing to watch it progress. Like we had so many guys here back in the day, and obviously I watched the goalies, but we talked about Mike Smith, and you watch a guy like Mike Smith become a huge superstar. Most Utah fans are always going to think about Theron Fleury, who came in with the Salt Lake Golden Eagles and made such a huge impact. Like I literally know 5 kids named Theron because their parents were my age, you know, and went and watched.
Right.
Yeah, they went and watched him, and they're like, I'm going to name my kid Theron Fleury, you know. They just
why not?
Everybody worshipped Theron Fleury. He was only here for half a season total. Like,
and he made that big of an impact.
Yeah.
People remember that. Yeah.
Well, man, he just came in. I even wore the jersey number 9. My first year as a hockey player was my sophomore year at Murray, and I'm like, I'm going to be number 9. They're like, goalies are not number 9.
Yeah, I was just going to say, 9 for a goalie?
Yeah, well, I didn't know. Like, I didn't know. He was my favorite player. But it's just been so much fun to watch guys like that. And we've had legends come through here. Joey Mullen. We got to watch Mike Richter, who played for Colorado Rangers when they're in the AA. So, I mean, you're in it, man. You get to see some of the big names that are, or some of the names that are going to be big.
Speaking of goalies, how's Kevin Boyle doing?
Great. Yeah, he's awesome. He was there that year with us in Utah for a little bit, for a few games. He had his first NHL game last year.
Nice.
I don't know if you saw that. He had a shutout as well. Goose egg, whatever you want to call it. Don't want to say the S word, but he's awesome. He's a good person, and obviously I've known him from day one since I've been an equipment guy. So it's kind of cool, you know, to still be working with him.
Nice. Tell him I say hello.
Yeah, absolutely. He's not as superstitious as you'd think. He might be one of the more normal goalies.
Really?
They're few and far between.
I'll give him credit for that.
Yeah. So, and that's another cool thing. And this is have you noticed this, Evan? And Ryan, you can tell me too, because you say he got his first pro game and he got a shutout. And we noticed the other night, now that the Grizzlies are the affiliate of the Avalanche, we watched one of our goalies that started here and then was in Colorado with the Eagles. And then got put into a game 30 seconds in where he thought he was just going to be backing up the backup. But then Colorado's backup gets knocked out cold. He gets put in, gets a shutout. Garrett Sparks, who's a kind of a friend of mine as well, and he's now with Las Vegas. But 2 years ago, he's with Toronto, gets his first game, gets a shutout. But then the next game is not. It doesn't go that well. Have you guys ever noticed this? Like, goalies,
like hot and cold?
Yeah, in their first starts, they get...
I mean, there's so much adrenaline and
much.
Oh, yeah.
Who knows what's going on in between their ears, so it's...
Yeah.
Right.
And
exactly.
Yeah, it's just crazy, because you always wonder how that next game is going to go, and I don't know why I'm spacing on the kid's name from Colorado, but so his next game, he gets to start with the Avalanche, gave up 6 in the first period.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's
cool.
You go from one extremity to the next.
Yeah. That's why I retired. That's why I played my 11 minutes, got my shutout, and I'm out.
And going back to that, Jay, that brings up, reminded me of talking about a good hockey story and over the few years that I've been in the business. That story is actually, if it's not number one, it's number two or three for sure. Because that day, I talk about that day all the time. All the elements of that, like you going into the game, it being a Star Wars night, and you're a big Star Wars fan, correct?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it just happened to be Star Wars jersey night,
yep.
and you end up in the game. And not only in the game, but winning us the game. Like, that was an unbelievable. And I've talked to you about it a little bit, but I can only imagine what was actually going through your head through that whole thing. You know, you've e-bugged a million times, so you probably thought, oh, well, here I am, like, emergency backup again, like, whatever, and then next thing you know, you're right in the mix.
Yeah, it was pretty weird, because it's funny when it happened, and it's funny, Ryan, because we haven't talked about it, because you and I had a stressful moment during this, but...
We did.
There was... Nobody said a word, so the starting goalie for the Utah Grizzlies goes down. He takes a shot to the forehead. I knew right away. Like, he took a shot to the forehead, and it dropped him.
Yeah.
And you could see the blood.
Blood was going out everywhere.
The screw he took right above his eye or whatever it was.
Yeah. And I'm like,
right in the forehead.
I'm like, all right, I literally, the first thought to my mind was, I need to stop the bleeding. Like, paramedic first, right?
Right.
And then another one of the players looked at me, and he goes, oh, boy. Here we go.
It might have been me.
It might have been you.
I was having flashbacks to summer league games. And
where I have a 50% save average. So I'm like, all right, well, I'll just go out and stretch, and we'll delay, and we'll see, and we'll throw some, because it's hockey, so they'll just throw stitches in the guy, and he'll be back in, no big deal. But we also had already gotten a penalty, so we were killing a penalty when that happened.
And then we were up by one goal at this time?
No, I think it was tied.
I don't remember.
It was tied. It was a 2-2 tie.
Okay.
And then, so we were killing a penalty, and then we got a delay of game penalty. So now I went in 5-on-3 to kill, or 3-on-5. So, but
optimal situation.
Oh, yeah. And the first shot they took was right on my blocker side. It was an easy save, and I was like, okay, that was cool. I made a save. But I made it old school, where I caught the puck on my blocker. And guys don't do that anymore. And I remember, as I was playing it back, because I remember the first interview I did, I'm like, one of the guys on the other team chirped me and said, I haven't seen that save since it was in black and white or something like that. And then I'm thinking back, I'm like, was that Evan that said that to me? Because it could have been. It could have been somebody on the Grizzlies that said it too. But then I make, they get a play down low, and they get a 2-on-1 down low, and they pass it across to the guy across, and I slide across, and I make the save, and my defenseman, clearing the puck, smacks me in the face and broke a snap off.
It blew the snap right off your helmet.
Yeah, so...
And I saw that happen.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's... So this isn't cool. Like,
I think I was smiling this whole time during this whole situation because it's pretty cool. You're in there.
Yeah.
Then I see the helmet break, and I'm like, oh no.
Yeah.
Here we go.
And I come over, and I'm like Ryan, and I think at first everybody thought I was just because there was a TV timeout or something, and everybody thought I was just trying to delay more time. But I'm like, no,
we were stalling too. The rink crew shoveling snow up and then spilling it and shoveling up and spilling it.
Anything and everything possible to stall while using this helmet.
And it's like, I remember one of the guys saying, or I remember Tim saying to one of the guys, like, hey, just clog up the middle. And he's like, we only have three guys. How can you clog up the middle?
clog up the middle on 5-on-3.
Yeah. And I'm like, all right, I need my mask fixed, though. And you're like, I don't have the screw or whatever. And I remember I could hear Riggs yelling at you, fix his mask, Larry, fix his mask.
Yes.
And I'm like, all right.
Not like Riggs.
Not a big deal. I'm just playing a pro game at 43 years old, and I was cold on the bench, and now my mask is crooked because goalie masks on the chin have two straps. They have in case you like your settings different, so you always just use the one, and then you never unsnap it. Like, once every 3 years, I'll go through and replace those snaps so that they don't, you know, so they're not so rusty. But other than that, you just don't use the other one. But the other one's like 2 inches lower. So now your mask is crooked on your head. It's being held weird. I'm like, this is great. This is how I go out. I get put in a pro game. And because I e-bug, like a lot of the times that I e-bug, I take off my throat guard. I didn't have my throat guard on either. It was in my stall. So I don't do that anymore. I keep all my gear on.
I don't blame you.
But yeah, that was crazy.
That was amazing.
Well, I'm glad that I can be somebody's first crazy hockey story.
Oh, Jay, I will never forget that one. And I'm sure Evan, too. I'm sure you'll remember that as well.
Oh, yeah. That was hilarious.
I honestly was just glad. You know what's going to happen at some point. I was just glad it happened when Evan was here. Because Evan and I have been friends forever.
Yeah.
And then...
That's awesome.
But then, man, the internet stuff... It made me feel old.
Kind of took a life of its own there for a while.
But nobody said, hey, this awesome... Like, they didn't even just say this firefighter. Literally every story I saw said 43-year-old firefighter.
They had to put the age there.
Can I just be a firefighter? Can I just be some guy that went in? Why did I have to put my age in there?
It adds to the mystique of it.
But, and that was pretty cool. And then all the guys in the locker room were like... What was that little guy's name that... They're tweeting it and Instagram and getting stuff, and they're like, hey, this old guy went in for our pro team tonight. I'm like, oh, yeah, well, it's good to be known for something. I guess being old is one of them. Wisdom comes with age.
That's right.
This wise guy.
And Jay, have you been in since? Have you been put into a game since that? I know you've e-bugged since then.
I have not.
Okay.
Two or three days later, we were playing a different team. We were playing Toledo? Not Toledo.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Who was the...
They were in town.
Yeah. It was Toledo, because they were, like, smoking everybody, right? Their coach told me, he goes, hey, look, we know you can play. If we get up a couple goals, I'm going to put you in. And I'm looking at him like, you can't be serious. And he's friends with Kevin... he was friends with Kevin McClelland, who was coaching here at the time, was coaching my son at the time. And he's like, yeah, Kevin McClellan told me to put you in.
Oh, so you know he's serious.
I was scared to death. I thought he was dead serious. And luckily they were close games, but Toledo had a history. I mean, they had just blown out Idaho the week before. They'd gone in and beat them like 7-1 and 5-1. I'm like...
Yeah, they were on fire.
I'm like, there's a good chance that they're going to get up by 4 goals and put me in. And so I would
love to see that.
Yeah, I was dying. I was pretty scared, but... because I know what happens. You get put in the first time, you get a shutout.
Yeah.
And the second...
Like we were talking about, the flop.
Yeah. because, you know, the walls come crumbling down. But it's funny, everybody's like, how nervous were you? And I'm like, I was pretty nervous at first, but then I also had nothing to lose. Like, if I would have got in, if I would have gone in and I gave up three goals, especially when I was 5-on-3 at first, nobody would have been like, oh, you suck. I mean, not more than normal.
Except for me.
I might have chirped you, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, the guy, I get chirped all the time anyway. Oh, you know what's crazy, though, is literally, okay, so after that, I could not play in the police and fire tournaments anymore. Every time they kept bringing up this USA hockey rule that if you've played pro in the last 3 years, you can't play in a tournament in the men's leagues. So I got kicked out of, and I was playing on like other men's leagues teams. I was playing here with Gary Waldron, who is a DJ here and is a co-host of the show. He had a team, and the first game we played together, they had the refs get together and the other team complained and had me disqualified from playing. And I'm like, what, are you kidding me?
Yeah, like, come on.
And then every like, really? Every time I give up a goal, not in division, like anything outside of division one, if I give up a goal in division two or division three or whatever, which I should be allowed to play in just fine because I'm 43 and not that good. I'm 46. I'm 46 now and not that good.
Yeah.
That every time I give up a goal, somebody's like, oh, Grizzlies goalie, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, seriously?
You're like, yeah. Like, that's getting old.
Yeah. Just one of those things. Everybody wants to chirp. That's hockey, though, too, right? Like,
That's hockey. You hear some good ones.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So, Ryan, now that you're a big shot in the AHL.
No big shot.
I want to ask two things. One, are you do you have aspirations of going to the next level? Are you hoping to be an NHL equipment guy?
Oh, absolutely. That's 100% a goal of mine. But, you know, it's one of those things that it takes time, and I'm in no hurry. I'm 24 and living in San Diego and working with the goals. It's unbelievable. So
yeah, you've got quite a setup.
It is. Like I said, I pinch myself all the time.
You could be paying your dues in Utica, and instead you're in San Diego.
Exactly. Enjoying it.
Is Sluggo the main guy? Is that the...
He was with the Ducks. He's since retired.
Oh, okay. So that's how long ago I was an equipment guy. So selling equipment. Sluggo was my guy, man, because I had tons of Ducks using Brian's and those innovative sticks I was pimping.
He's such a good man. He's still involved with the Ducks a little bit. They built a new practice facility, Great Parks. It's where the rookie showcase was hosted this year in September, and he was involved in the building and design of that facility.
Oh really, man! The Ducks really, know how to give back to the community too, man. What are they called? The rinks?
So amazing. And that's our practice facility, the rinks.
Yeah, that's so nice. I love that place, and that's a cool old barn. And then they've got like two or three other ones that have the Ducks logo on them that the Ducks had something to do with. One of them's like an old Safeway.
Yep. And I think so.
And then the Ducks have put all this money into the community, and they just keep building. Like the youth, hockey has sprouted in California because of the Kings and the Ducks and the Sharks and what they're doing.
Amazing.
It's so cool. All right.
It is. It's so cool to see that.
Now comes the part where now there's some other 15 to 17-year-old wannabe Ryan Tall out there. What's your advice? I ask all the players. I want to ask for an equipment guy. Like, what's your advice to a kid that wants to get involved and follow your path?
You know what? The best thing you can do is just get involved. Just, you know, if whether it's the Grizzlies or another pro team in the area, even a junior team, just see if they need help with anything on the equipment operations side. You know, if it's a junior team, they might not even have an equipment guy, so you can get in on that. Or if it's, you know, Grizzlies or a pro team, wherever somebody may be, that everybody's always looking for help, whether it's, you know, starting at just holding towels and doing laundry or being around and just learning from actually being involved, I think is one of the biggest things.
So was that your first thing? Were you the guy folding towels and doing laundry?
I was, yeah. And John Loughran was so good with me, and so was Georgie. They let me kind of run, let me kind of spread my wings on some things and just, here you go, try some things. Here's actually a hilarious story. You know Jim McKenna,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's a linesman for the for the Grizzlies, right? He does a lot of the ECHL games, right? Does he still do those?
Oh, yeah, he does.
Okay, so he comes in. This is my first year. I'm working with John. He comes in. He needs new holders on his skates, right? Like new toques.
Yeah.
And John's like, all right, like, you do it, Ryan. Like, here you go. Like, I've done it before, like, practicing, but he's like, hey, here you go. Do it. So he had a CCM skate, but he wanted the toques, so the holes don't line up.
Right.
So you got to drill, right? You got to drill holes to line up with the holder. Anyway, so John, like, he goes off doing something else, and I'm, like, stoked. I'm like, all right, John's like, let me run with this. Like, I'm doing it. I want to do it right and fast, da-da-da-da. Anyways, I get going. I drill the holes, rivet it all in, and I show John. I'm like, hey, John, look, I did it. Like, I'm proud, right? Like, I'm like, look, I did it right. I knew it was right. I was so confident. And he's like, yeah, this is great. Like, good job. And he puts it, he goes to sharpen it, and he goes, Ryan? I'm like, yeah, what's up? And he's just pointing at the toe cap of the skate. And I had drilled a hole through the toe cap of the skate when I was drilling the rivet.
Oh, man.
And my heart, I told him I'd just walk out and he would never see me again. And it was, I had never been so embarrassed in my whole entire life. But we ended up, I think, you know, I've talked to Mason, who's the assistant there in Utah, and he says that Jim still has the skates. We filled it with hot glue and wax and colored it black. And I went and told Jim what had happened, and he just kind of laughed. He's a great guy. But, yeah, that was a crushing moment for me when I thought I had something done so perfectly and then realized I drilled a hole right through the toe cap.
That is totally something I would do. And I love that a linesman was your crash test dummy.
Like, that's the best. Yeah, exactly. That's the best place to practice. I mean,
let the official be the guinea pig.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's a Murray guy too. So I know. Well, he has Murray kids. I think he was a Brighton guy growing up. But he's
right.
I've known him for a long time, and he's a great dude. I can see him being totally cool about it. And he doesn't. I mean,
I still feel bad about it.
Yeah, but still, it's just a hole in your toe cap for a lineman. That's not.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I don't even know if it would matter for me. I think I would do the same thing. But I do take shots off
ventilation.
A toe cap. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, that's perfect.
Oh,
well, that's awesome. And you know what? We do have teams. I mean, I know the Utah Outliers are always looking for, you know, people to come help. And I know that the Ogden Mustangs probably need some help, too. And those teams are, I mean, those guys are practicing every day as well. And they probably need guys to come in and help out. So if somebody is looking,
great opportunity.
Yeah, and the Grizzlies are, you know, always looking for somebody to come in and do stuff as an intern or do free labor. And
right, they're so good there.
Yeah,
no, nothing but good people there.
Absolutely, wow. Absolutely. Yeah, I know. Good organization, and I mean, look, man, they keep advancing guys, and
it's awesome.
Well, Ryan, I appreciate it. You know, we've been wanting to hear your story and how you made it to the AHL from here, wanted to hear why you were called Larry.
So there it is. Now you know.
Yeah, now we know. And is there anything else you want to add before the floor is yours, if there's anything else you want to say to anybody here in Utah?
You know, well, outside of all the equipment managing stuff, I talked to you briefly a little bit in the summer. Real quick, we did Riggs is involved in this. We did that Hungry for Hockey barbecue.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that. Yeah, so it's something that we started this last summer, and I think we're gonna organize it a little better and hopefully grow it to become what we have a vision for. But it's just we did a barbecue, and all the money that we raised from the barbecue went to local youth hockey. The UAHA has a scholarship fund. That we want to get involved with them, and BCYHA as well was like a huge sponsor for us, helping us put the event together. So
you're raising money to help pay other kids' dues, and you did that through.
Yep.
If I remember right, you had some amazing raffle prizes, right? You had a bunch of stuff from.
Oh my gosh.
The Ducks.
We had stuff from the San Jose Sharks, the Ducks, all kinds of pro teams, the Grizzlies, and then local businesses jumped on it like crazy. Golf courses. It turned out, for a first-year event for us, it turned out to be quite the ordeal. We raised about $3,000 just from one day of barbecuing and hanging out with hockey people.
That's awesome. So, do you guys have a website?
We don't right now, but we're gonna be putting some stuff together here, get the planning really fine-tuned, and we'll host the event again this coming summer.
Yeah, you just get a Facebook page and get a logo. Those are like the main things. Once you get those, you're legit, and you can just grow off that.
We've got a logo. We had some shirts, so yeah, right. There's more to come. So be looking for that.
Yeah, and we're behind you 100%, man. We'll like I did last year. We'll share it on the Utah Puck Report. We'll share it on my page. We'll see if we can't we'll get everybody to share
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
Once we get it going, I mean I just did a thing. I was just looking at the numbers. In 1992-ish, we had 8,000 registered hockey players. This is so
right.
1990, and less than 8,000 in the entire region. That's Utah, Wyoming, and Idaho. And now we're just under 80,000 in those three areas.
That's so important. It's so important for youth to be involved in sports. And for me, obviously I have a personal connection with hockey I have hockey to thank for my job now.
Yeah.
But growing up and being a part of, all those youth teams and then high school was just, it's super special to me. So I want to hopefully give some kids that don't have the funds or all of the funds a chance to get out there and play and hopefully, get some experiences like I've had.
Yeah, and that's something we can 100% get behind because without hockey, I know you wouldn't have a degree. Would you have gone to college?
I wouldn't have had two degrees, I think, at this
point.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the brain on this guy. This guy got a master's degree because he's playing hockey. And honestly,
look at that.
I wouldn't have gone to college either. I honestly don't – it was not on my radar. I was already a DJ here and making decent money. I had no intention of leaving. And then all of a sudden they're like, hey, you want to go to North Dakota in this little town called Botno? And play hockey because we can't get anybody else to go here because it's Botno, North Dakota. And I'm in.
Yeah, it's definitely opened a lot of interesting doors for me playing all over the world and stuff. So it's nice to give back and allow other people to hopefully have that same opportunity.
Yeah, it's so cool that you guys are doing this. And
it's special.
You let us know and we'll post it and we're behind it 100%.
That's awesome. I appreciate that. We all do.
All right, Ryan. Thank you. Evan, you have anything else to add?
Larry, good to hear from you. I'm glad to hear you're liking it and successful. I could always tell. At that point, I think that was my ninth year or whatever, and obviously had a lot of equipment managers, and it's still – you worked so hard, and everything was done quick and fast and professional. And it's no secret why you've been able to move up a bit and probably will continue to move up in the next few years, which it's nice to see. Glad I was a part of that, teaching how to take tape off
the stick. Absolutely. Hey, I appreciate the kind words, Evan. That's awesome.
And now everybody else here wants to know how big your, do you have a couch in San Diego? Because none of us want to be here during the snow.
Hey,
just go sleep on
If anybody
Larry's
wants
couch.
To come down, come and hang out. I've got room to sleep a few.
All right.
So, door's always open.
See you in a few days.
A place to stay. Place to stay, and we'll just go. I'll go fold towels for him so we can watch AHL games.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Hey, what's better?
All right. That was the Utah Puck Report. Thank you so much for listening. The Utah Puck Report is a KSLSports.com podcast. And if you haven't subscribed yet, then you can. All you got to do is text the word puck to 57500.
And you can also catch us online, too, at KSLSports.com and right there at the Arrow website, 1035thearrow.com.
That's awesome. And we want to thank Josh Tilton, our producer. He's the one that keeps us in line, keeps the things rolling. And he doesn't roll tape, as you would say.
He does not.
But he does produce the show in all the digital ways. So once again, thank you so much for listening to the Utah Puck Report.